Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. Boy, I'm sure glad you're with us today. We have a wonderful topic to talk about today. We're going to continue on in our study of the Gospel of John, but let's pray together, shall we? All right. Dear Lord Jesus, open our hearts today by the power of your Spirit. Make them malleable in your presence, Lord, and encourage us today, Lord. Give us hope and fortitude as we follow you, Lord Jesus, until the day that you return or we leave here to come be with Christ. And we know that we're coming to be with Christ. We're going to talk about that today because we're born again. So, God, use your word in a powerful way in our life today. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, what? Amen and amen. Okay. Now, last week, we started looking at John chapter 3, that incredible passage featuring our good friend, Rabbi Nicodemus. And if you didn't listen to that on the new birth, oh my gosh, you got to go back and listen to that. You say, well, I'm already a Christian. I already understand the new birth. Really? Well, you need to go back and listen and make sure you really understand why did you need the new birth and what is the new birth and how does God give us the new birth? These are the things we talked about last week that you as a Christian, we ought to know down pat. But this week, I want to stop for a minute before we go on deeper into the Gospel of John chapter 3, and I want to ask another question. We talked about why we need the new birth and how God does the new birth, but I want to talk to you today about what are the results of the new birth. I mean, if we have been born afresh, born anew, spiritually by the Holy Spirit, as we talked about last week, what difference does it make? I mean, so what? Well, what changes in our life? Okay, that's what I want to talk to you about today, because this is great. So, are you ready? All right, now remember last week, John chapter 3, let's look at what Jesus said. John chapter 3, this is review. John chapter 3, verse 3, Nicodemus came and he said, most assuredly, verily, I say to you, unless a person is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Not maybe he won't see it, or perhaps he won't see it, or the odds are, no. Jesus said he cannot see the spirit, see the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because as we talked about last week, until we're born again, we're spiritual cadavers. We're the valley of dry bones, Ezekiel 37. God doesn't let dry dead bones and cadavers into heaven spiritually. You need to be spiritually alive and a child of God. And he also said to Nicodemus, look with me, verse 12. He says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? This is heavenly truth, spiritual truth that I hope we all believe. Now, if that happens to us, what is the result? Well, look here. Let's answer that question today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is where we're going to start. Look at verse 17. I hope you've memorized this verse. Verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, remember we said there's only two races, I've taught you this, that God sees people in. You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Those are the only two places you can be. If you're an Adam, you inherit everything Adam did, his sin, his alienation from God, his dying spiritually to God. But if you're in Christ, by the new birth, by trusting what he did on the cross for you, by being adopted as a child of God, then you inherit everything good that Jesus did for you. Okay, now, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that means we're born again. We've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Watch. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is why Jesus came to earth 2,000 years ago, my friends. He came to give us a new life, a new birth that leads to a new life that overflows with new things. This is why Jesus came. As we said last week, he did not come to make bad men and women good or good men and women better. He died to make dead men and women alive and bring new things into their life. Now, there are four of these new things I want to tell you about in the message today. Ready? Let's put it on the screen. Number one, Jesus came to give us a new relationship with God. Let's look at John chapter 1. Verse 11 says, Jesus came to his own and his own did not receive him, meaning the Jewish people, but as many as received him. We said that means that when the UPS guy or the FedEx person or the DHL person, I won't leave anybody out, the Prime person comes to your front door and offers you a gift, it's yours. But you have to receive it. You got to take it. You've got to appropriate it. You got to make it yours and claim it. Well, to receive Christ is the same thing. Everything that Jesus is offering us, including the new birth, is ours, free. But we got to take it. We got to appropriate it. We got to claim it and make it ours. And when we do that, the Bible says, as many as received him, to them, and I might add to them only, he gave the right to become what? What does it say? Say it with me, children of God, even to those who believe in his name, watch, who were born, watch this, not of blood. This is not a physical birth, and who were born not of the will of the flesh. You can't make this happen, the new birth, by willing it into being with all of your efforts, nor of the will of man. You can't work your way there. You can't earn your way there, but of God. Now, let's take out all those modifiers and look what it says, who were born of God. This is one of the results of the new birth, is that we enter into a brand new relationship with God where we become, look what it says here, we become children of God, adopted in Christ. Now, this is what Romans chapter 8 says, verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, watch, but you have received the spirit of what? What does it say? Adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, which is Hebrew for father. The spirit himself, look at this, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Friends, so the Bible says that when we are born again, we are no longer spiritually dead. We are no longer alienated from God, but to the contrary, now we have a completely different relationship with God than we had before. We are the children of God, adopted by and through Jesus Christ. He becomes our heavenly Father, Abba Father. We become his beloved children in Christ. And what this means is that everything that now is important to you is important to Christ. Everything that now matters to you matters to God. I don't care how small it is. He's interested. Why? Because we love our children, and anything that's important to our children who belong to our family is important to us, no matter how trivial it might seem. If it's important to them, we care about it. We want to intervene. We want to help them. And the Lord is the same way. Now asking him to help you with a healing from cancer, he's interested. Now asking him to help you find a new job, he's interested. But he's also interested in the small things, finding a set of lost keys, finding a lost shoe, finding a parking space when you're out, Christmas shopping. Oh, God cares about it all. Why? Because you're not alienated from him anymore. You are his child. and he cares about his children, and he's willing to intervene in the world for his children, and not just willing, but he's anxious to. Look at Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Look at this. Call unto me. This is an invitation to us as his children. Call unto me, says the Lord, and I will answer you, and I will show you great and mighty things that you know not. Just give me a chance in your life, and I'm interested because you're my child. How great is this? I was with a man the other day. We were down in Florida, and we were out for dinner with this gentleman. And he said, you know, I love the Lord, but I try never to bother him with little things. I try to only bring big things to him because I know he's busy running the universe, and I don't want to bring silly little trivial things to him. And I was sitting there, and I didn't know him that well, so I didn't want to correct him. I didn't say anything right at that moment. But later, the other couple that was with us commented and said, can you believe he said that? My, this other couple said, how much is he missing? Because he thinks that God is only willing to help him with the big things. And he, all these little things he tries to handle himself and not bother God. Friends, you are not bothering God. When one of my children comes to me and has a need, they are not bothering me. I am immediately connected, immediately engaged. I'm immediately interested, and I'm immediately ready and anxious to help. Aren't you that way with your children? Yeah. Well, now you have that relationship with God. How great is this? So don't just try to bring him the big things in life. Bring him everything. And be bold, Hebrews chapter 4, boldly come to the throne of grace that we might receive grace and help in our time of need, because he's our Father and we're his beloved children. Now, number two, what's the second great thing that happens when we're born again? Well, number two, we get a new power over our passions. You know, not too long ago, Brendan and I were traveling, we were in this airport waiting for our connection. And I was looking at these people at the table next to us, and it was a younger gentleman with an older gentleman who had like oxygen, you know, tube coming from a tank on the ground into his nose and was giving him oxygen. And I thought, oh, that poor man, I feel so sorry for him. I don't know what he's got, but, you know, I'm sorry. And then when they finished eating, they were sitting close enough that we could hear what they were saying. The older gentleman said to his companion, hey, let's go now to the smoking room and have a cigarette. And off they went. And I thought, oh, my gosh, here this man is. He's probably got COPD or emphysema, as they used to call it, or maybe even lung cancer or whatever, because of the damage of smoking. And he's on oxygen, walking, pulling an oxygen tube, and he's on his way to have a cigarette. Why didn't he stop smoking? Why? Well, friends, you know what? He who commits sin is a slave of sin, and sin, this is what Jesus said in John chapter 8, sin has an amazing addictive power over us as human beings. Satan sees to that. Sin is addicting, whether it's gambling or pornography or lust or smoking or using illegal drugs or using legal drugs and getting hooked on OxyContin and other drugs like that. What else? Spending, spending crazy, stealing, kleptomania, and on and on and on and on. Eating, these things that we do, they make us a prisoner. And Jesus said that the person who commits sin is a slave of sin. But John chapter 8, Verse 36, Jesus said, but if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. The power that comes into our life when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, when we are born again and born anew, this power of the Holy Spirit means that we don't have to be slaves anymore to sin. We don't have to listen to it and obey it anymore, because we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us to fill us and say no. Now, does that mean we never sin again? Of course not. Does that mean sometimes we don't lose the battle? No, we do lose the battle still. But in the days before we were born again, we lost the battle every single day, every single time, no matter how hard we try. When we are followers of the Lord Jesus and we are born again, there are some days we don't lose the battle. And hopefully, the more time that goes on as we walk with Christ and the more we let the Holy Spirit fill us, the fewer days we lose the battle. We still lose, but not as much as we used to, and we're not slaves anymore that we have to do it. No, we get a new power over our passions. Number three, when we're born anew, what do we get? Well, we get a new purpose for living. I was reading an article a while back. They were interviewing Madonna, and Madonna said, and I quote, I'm telling you that fame and fortune are not what they're cracked up to be. Wow. Isn't this interesting? The material girl living in the material world has suddenly discovered that chasing after material things does not bring real satisfaction and fulfillment in life. Ah, but this is what's great about being born again. No longer are we trying to find our fulfillment and our satisfaction in chasing material things. We get a higher purpose for living. We get a transcendent purpose for living. We get an exalted purpose for living. And what is that? Well, let me read to you 2 Corinthians 5:15. It says, and he, that is Jesus, died for all, that is believers, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for, look at this, what's it say? Him who died for them and rose again. Hey, I remember just before I came to Christ and I was living in Chapel Hill, I got to the place where I honestly didn't even know why I was getting up in the morning. I had no purpose for living. I had nothing that brought satisfaction and fulfillment to my life. Honestly, I was completely without purpose. I had done everything that people said will bring purpose to life. I had partied. I had drunk. I had used drugs. I had been with women. I was involved in fraternity life. I was involved in higher education. I had a college degree. I was doing drugs. And on and on and on and on. I tried to return and do religion of all different kinds. No satisfaction. Hey, baby, but when I came to Christ, everything changed. Because you know what? I didn't get up every morning. What does this verse say? I didn't get up every morning. Look at the verse. To live for myself. That those who live should no longer live for themselves, the verse says, but for him who died and rose again. I got up every morning and said, Lord Jesus, today my purpose in life is I am living for you, and I'm living to honor you, and I'm living to tell people about you, and I'm living to obey you in anything you tell me to do, and I'm living so that my life is an opportunity for you to get glory here on earth. And I'm living to please you. And that was a transcendent purpose for my life that brought satisfaction and brought fulfillment to my life. And this is what happens when we're born anew. We get a real purpose for living. As I said, a transcendent, eternal purpose for living. Our purpose for living is to serve and honor and obey the living Christ. When we do that, that's a purpose that works every single day for the rest of our life. That becomes our purpose. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And the work of the Lord there just doesn't mean preaching or being an evangelist. It means the everyday work we all do when we seek to serve the Lord every day, whether it's as a butcher or a baker or a candlestick maker, a plumber, an electrician, somebody laying asphalt, somebody working in an office. It doesn't matter. Preaching doesn't matter, but we're doing it as unto the Lord. Look at this. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Watch, in as much as you know that your labor is not in vain, is not wasted in the Lord. How do we know that? Because God has promised to reward what we do when we get to heaven. And so therefore, we are working and living for an eternal reward that God's going to give us as we seek to serve him immovably, and as we seek to serve him steadfastly, and as we seek to serve him always abounding in doing that every single day. Man, that's a reason to get out of bed in the morning. And that's what you get when you're born again. You get a brand new purpose for living that's not centered around you or centered around what you want to do, but it's centered around serving the living, exalted, eternal, holy God of the universe. Wow. That's worth getting up to do every morning. Now, number four, what do we get? Well, we not only get a new relationship with God, and we get a new power over our passions, and we get a new purpose for living, but friend number four, we get a new assurance about immortality, a new assurance about eternity. If you remember, this is what started the whole conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus. Why? He came because with all of that religious activity and with all of that religious performance and with all of that religious action that he was involved with, he still didn't know for sure whether he was going to heaven or not, whether he had eternal life or not. And that's why Jesus cut through it and said, Jesus knew why he came. Unless you're born again, you will not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, Nicodemus had religious works hanging off of him, like dew hanging off a tree in the morning. But he didn't have eternal life because he wasn't born again. And this makes perfect sense that Nicodemus didn't have assurance of eternal life, because you can't get that assurance from working or trying hard or meriting it or doing religious activity. It doesn't come that way. No, listen to the Bible. Listen to the Bible. 1 John chapter 5, verse 11. And this is the testimony, look, that God has, what's the next word? Say it. Given us eternal life, and this life is in your religious work. No, you're trying hard to keep the Ten Commandments. No, you trying to be a nice person. No, in Buddha. No, in Confucius, no, in Mormonism, no, in Islam, no, and this life is in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nicodemus didn't have an assurance of eternity because only God gives it, and God only gives it to those who are born anew by the Spirit of God. This is the testimony. God has given us who believe in Christ eternal life. We didn't earn it. It's a gift that comes as part of the package deal when you become a child of God by being born again. Now, look at this. Verse 12. He who has the Son has eternal life. And he who does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. Friends, can you say it any simpler than that? How much clearer can God be? Now, verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. Stop. Have you believed in the name of the Son of God? Have you trusted Jesus to be your Lord and Savior? Are you depending on what he did for you on the cross as your one and only payment for sin and your one and only hope of getting into heaven? Yes. Are you born again by the Spirit of God? Yes. Are you a child of God adopted in Christ? Yes. Okay, then this is for you. Pay attention. Here we go. These things I have written to you who believe in the Son of God. Watch that you may, what's the next word? Know, K-N-O-W, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. My friends, God doesn't want you guessing about whether or not you have eternal life. God doesn't want you to be unclear about whether you have eternal life or unsure. No, God wants you to K-N-O-W that you have eternal life, to know it as certain as you know your name, my friend. Isn't this what the Bible says? And I've met people who say to me, I don't see how you can know, say you know that you have eternal life. I think that's the most arrogant statement anybody could ever make. Well, I know I have eternal life. I mean, how arrogant can you be? And I've had to say to them, ma'am or sir, I'm not arrogant. I'm just repeating what the Bible says. Everyone who's born again, everyone who's a child of God, can know, should know, ought to know. God wants you to know and wants there to be no bad doubt that the last breath you breathe on this earth will be followed by the next breath you breathe on the shores of heaven. Absolutely, positively, irrevocably, this is the word of God to you and me. Irrefutably so. Unequivocally so. You understand? God wants you to know this. And if you're in Christ, you should. And friends, this is not a hope-so hope. You've heard me say this before. This is a no-so hope that comes from the word of God. And therefore, it's no-so. You know, the woman who raised me was my maid, a woman named Coralie Goodman. She was, I loved her so much. My mom was never home. This woman was in our home. She cooked, she cleaned, she ironed, she made meals. You know, if you saw The Help, the movie, that was Coralie Goodman for my family, Monday to Saturday. And you know what? She prayed me into the kingdom of God. You know the story. I went to see her when I first came to Christ. I was maybe 2 weeks old in the Lord. And she said, honey, she said, I've been praying for you to come to Christ for 22 years, but I never thought I'd see the day you come to Christ. Well, when she was in the hospital in 1975, dying of throat cancer, she was up here in the hospital over at Andrews Air Force Base because one of her children was in the Air Force. And I went to see her and went up to her room and spent some wonderful time with Coralie. And it was so sweet. Coralie, when I knew her as a child, was a very strong woman. But she had shrunk down to maybe, I don't know, less than 100 pounds because of the cancer. It was tragic, but it was still sweet to be with her before she went off to be with the Lord. But as I was leaving her, I said, well, Cora, if I don't see you anymore here on earth, I'll see you in heaven. And she said, well, I sure hope so. And I went, what? Excuse me? She said, I sure hope so. I went back and sat down next to her bed. And I said, Coralie, I want to ask you a question. Do you know for certain, absolutely, without the shadow of a doubt, that you're going to heaven when you leave here? And she said, no. And I said, okay, Coralie, it's time for you and me to look at some scripture. And I showed her where Jesus said in John's gospel, he who believes in me has, present tense, eternal life. I showed her in John chapter 10, where Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they know me, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall ever pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then I took her here to 1 John chapter 5. These things I write to you who believe on the name of the Son of God. I said, is that you, Coralie? And she said, yes. I said, now watch, that you may know that you have eternal life. And she looked at that. I said, now, Coralie, are you going to believe the Bible or not? She said, well, of course I believe the Bible, honey. I said, okay, then I'm going to ask you one more time that question I asked you a moment ago. Do you now know, based on the Bible and what we just read, that the minute you leave here, you're going to be immediately in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ? And she got this big smile on her face, and she said, I do. And I said, I gave her a kiss, and I said, Coralie, that's so wonderful. I'm so happy that you can say that. I said, do you know it? She said, I do. And she died not long after that. I'm looking forward to seeing her in heaven. But I thought later, how many months, how many years has that poor woman missed the joy of knowing that she had eternal life? How many years has that poor woman been worried at night, wondering if she was going to really go to heaven and trying so hard, hoping that she was going to get to go to heaven and missing the joy of being able to say, I know I have eternal life because of what Jesus did for me on the cross. God gave it to me as part of the package deal of being born again. Oh, my friends, if you're missing that joy of knowing it, may I say to you, believe the Bible. Believe what God says in the Bible, that you may know that you have eternal life. So, four things we get when we are born again: a new relationship with God, a new power over our passions, a new purpose for living, and a new assurance about immortality. Right? 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 Yeah. And hey, baby, what was this today? Tell me what it was. What was this? You say it was preaching, but you didn't ask so what today. How can you be preaching if you don't ask so what? And you don't say how sweet it is. Well, I just said it. And we'll ask so what maybe next week. But this week, it just didn't fit. Okay, well, it's in the title. So what? Now, I want to close by reading to you a quote that has been one of the greatest quotes I've ever read in my life. Maybe you've heard me say it. I use it at funerals all the time. But nothing that I've ever read has given me more encouragement and hope than this quote by Dwight L. Moody, the great evangelist of the 19th century. A third grade education, but his biographer estimates he led over 1 million people to Christ. Personally, he didn't have Wi-Fi, he didn't have the internet, he didn't have amplification or microphones or anything, just preaching the word on stage. And here's what he said, and I quote. Let's put it on the screen. He said, someday you will read in the papers that Dwight L. Moody of East Northfield, Massachusetts, is dead. He said, don't you believe a word of it. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall be more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher, that's all, out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint. Now watch, I was born of the flesh in 1837. I was reborn by God's Spirit in 1855. That which is born of the flesh may die, but that which is born of God's Spirit will never die. End of quote. Isn't that what Jesus said? You must be born of the flesh and of the Spirit. Moody said, I was born of the flesh, 1837. I was born of God's Spirit, 1855. That which is born of the flesh may die, but that which is born of God's Spirit shall never die. Praise the Lord. Last breath you take, if you are a follower of Jesus here, will be followed by your next breath on the shores of heaven. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the wonderful hope that you give us. That's not a hope-so hope. It's a no-so hope of immortality and heaven and eternal life, as well as giving us a new relationship with you, a new power over our passions, and a new purpose for living here on earth. Lord Jesus, thank you for going to the cross for us. Thank you for the new birth, and thank you for what it means in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. And what? Amen. And friends, if you haven't got these four things in your life, honestly, you need to go back and listen to my message from last week, and you need to pray with me at the end and ask God to come into your life and birth you anew. If you're born again, these things will be real in your life. May God bless you. Merry Christmas to you. We'll see you next weekend with our special Christmas message. God bless.